Hi, everybody, and welcome to the Liars Club. I'm Felicia Michaels.
And I'm Jessica Wellington.
And first off, I'm going to explain what we do here at the Liars Club. We have two of our comedy pals come on, and we ask them to each tell two stories. One is the truth and one is a lie. And then Jessica here and I will try to bust open the lie. And as you can see, because we're going to ask people to tell crazy, wild stories, it's important for us to say the opinions and views told on this podcast should not be reflected upon the Comedy Store.
Required to do that now?
It feels like it should be done, Jessica. That's all I'm saying. So anyway, I would love to introduce our guests, and we're very lucky to have these fellas. They are brothers. They go as Corey and Chad. They have a couple specials out that are floating around on Showtime and Hulu. One of them is with Dice Clay, and they open up for Ralphie all the time. Please give it up for Corey and Chad, also known as the Smash Brothers, everybody.
Yay!
I'm glad the disclaimer. That way, now we can just do what we need to do.
Yeah.
Well, it's out of the way.
Okay. All right. Let's not anyone go to jail afterwards.
No.
So then we ask you guys to tell two stories, and usually we have people come on, and it doesn't matter if you know what I mean. But you guys are like twins,
right?
And so this is a second time because we had the Sklar brothers on,
right,
where we're not asking you to trick each other because it's pretty much impossible.
But I said if they could, they'd get like the Lifetime Achievement Award.
Wow, you're just that easy, Jessica.
it would be amazing.
Oh,
if we could pull off doing that to each other, I think it'd be pretty good. I mean, we have a room at each other's houses to this day. We always have. So this
oh,
should be,
really?
Yeah.
What's the longest you guys have ever spent apart?
When we came off tour, it was like a month and like 5 weeks, and it was great. We just text each other. We were kind of...
We didn't want to see each other, so about 5 weeks. Then after that, we're like, okay, all right, I miss you a little bit. Let's go back on tour.
What is the most horrific time that you guys ever beat each other up? Did you do that?
Yeah, yeah. The night of homecoming, my date showed up. Yeah, you called her a slut.
I know.
Yeah.
Because she was.
No, she was not. He called her a slut, and we fought. He punched me in front. I was actually embarrassed, more like what the fuck? I was like embarrassed, and then we fought, and he bruised and cracked my ribs. I didn't even make it to homecoming.
You bruised and cracked his ribs?
Well, he punched me in front of my date, so I had to defend myself.
Oh,
so
this is two different.
Anyway,
he struck first.
I felt bad about it ever since. I can't believe he just brought it up. What an asshole! I'm just saying. I've been saying sorry since we were 17. I'm 41. Get over it.
Wow. So who came out first? I know people probably ask you that all the time.
Supposedly Corey, but it was 77. Mom did a lot of coke, so who knows?
Yeah, I'm 4 minutes older than Chad. That's why we're Corey and Chad, not Chad and Corey.
Oh, really?
Yeah,
really?
We argue about that a lot, too.
Oh.
It sounds better, Chad and Corey. Fred and Barney. Like, I could go on and on.
I think Corey and Chad sounds better, actually. I'm
Thank
sorry.
Thank you.
All right, well, I'll vote.
Yeah. It's kind of like
one bigger than the other.
He probably got all the nutrients.
I was. Yeah. I think I was like 6-8 ounces heavier. We were 7'6" and 6'10". So it was close. We were close. We were big babies, full term. My mom cried when she found out she was having twins. She thought she was having one girl, and then later on they figured out it was two boys and twins. Our mother cried. Twins runs in our family. Our grandmother's a twin. Her grandmother's a twin.
Oh,
her
wow.
grandmother's
we're
a
the
twin.
First boys.
So. Right.
Oh, wow.
And now look at us. I mean.
There were twins in my school when I was growing up in high school, Brenda and Linda. Mm-hmm. And I always thought that in twins, and if this is offensive, my apologies.
No.
But I always...
telling us to be good. Go ahead.
But how come, to me, twins kind of always look like identical twins, like the original copy, the original, and then kind of a shitty copy. Is that
right.
kind of true? No,
know.
No, that's kind of true, no, right?
You're right, and I apologize for his appearance.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, we always say that. Just like, you know, people always ask, have you guys ever hooked up with girl twins? And I'm like, no, because one's usually really hot and the other one looks like a mongoloid. And
it never's worked out for us in 41 years.
Yeah, we've tried.
Oh, wow.
And we have
been to twin festivals.
we're
the only guys that are striking out. So
oh, you guys have been to twin festivals?
Yeah, yeah,
we can't really tell you much about that.
Underground twin festivals?
There's pretty much underground twin things.
Yeah. Secret handshakes of the whole deal.
Anyway, let's keep it going. We can't talk about that.
You know, my stepmom, so that family, they have twins. And back then, whenever her sisters were born, the dad wasn't in the room or anything like that. So the doctor came out and they had no idea what they were having. There was an ultrasound or nothing. Came out and she said, you're a proud father of two baby girls. And he's like, because it was April 1st. Uh-huh. And I was like, yeah, April Fool's you too, buddy.
Yeah.
And then he did.
Oh, wow. Yeah. Wow. Yeah.
That would shock you.
Yeah, that would shock you. Well, let's get to the game. Who would like to go first? We'll mix them up. You know, don't tell us what you're going to do.
Corey will go
first. Corey will go first.
One time we were in El Paso doing the world famous comic strip. It was August with no air conditioning. I remember it fondly. It was August. But the good part was we were there with Ralphie. We had the tour bus. We came in. It was
Ralphie went there?
Yeah. We did it.
We did it once a year with Ralph.
From like 2011 to 2015. And then once he got the residency, he was
Ralph
like,
was a Texas guy though, right?
Houston.
So he did all those Texas gigs.
Yeah. He just, no matter what, he said he's always going back to Texas.
Well, any club that he said that was good to him on the way up, he always kept that relationship. Even if it was a 300 seater, he always would go back at least a one nighter and do it. That's just, Ralphie was old school like that. We would always do little small.
And it's super smart.
Super, yeah. Yeah. Sold out. I mean, crazy sold out, too, everywhere. But so we were in El Paso, and it was storming. It was August. It was raining like hell. We were in the tour bus, and we did the two shows that night, and we were loading up all the merchandise. Ralphie was already on the bus, and this El Camino pulled up, and this El Camino was all beat up and dented up, and the guy pulled up. He had all these boxes. He goes, man, you guys were all so funny tonight. He's all, we want to welcome you to El Paso. He's all, take any box you want. And I was like, what is it, fucking lettuce, tamales? Like, what are in these boxes? And he's all, the boxes on the left are cocaína. The boxes on the right are mota. And I'm all, whoa. I go, man, that's a fucking welcoming party.
Yeah.
Went through the boxes, and he's all, if I was you, the mota's just okay. I would grab the cocaína. And I'm like, fuck. Like, these were bundles of fucking cocaine. I remember I grabbed the brick of the cocaine. I'm all right, man, take care. And
just take a brick of cocaine.
Yeah, like
just
it was like it was like it was no fucking problem. And so
no,
I grabbed this brick, and I remember getting on the bus, and I'm all, hey, Ralph, none of us do coke. The crazy we got was drinking Fireball, eating edibles.
You've never done coke?
Our parents did cocaine, so we veered away from doing blow because we've seen what blow does to you. Like, growing up in the 80s, our parents did lots of blow.
Yeah, me too, but I ended up smoking crack with my mom.
Yeah. Well,
I know. Yeah. And it's not your fault, Jessica. That was your mother's fault.
Because you could go either way.
Well, yeah, no, and we just like cigarettes, we never smoked. They would smoke cigarettes, and they did blow, and we'd done the opposite, that we'd just drink and smoke weed. And I remember getting on the bus, and I'm like, Ralph, you won't fucking believe it. This guy went to the show, the second show, and he gave us this brick of cocaine. He's like, you better go back inside that club and sell it. We're about to go through Albuquerque. They're going to search this fucking bus. If they busted Willie Nelson, motherfucker, they're going to bust us.
That was in North Carolina, in Dudley, North Carolina.
Oh, where he got they busted?
Yes, Willie Nelson. So you know what Willie Nelson comes with.
Oh, yeah.
Right? So why did they even book him? They booked him, and as soon as his tour bus pulled into town, they stopped him and raided it and busted him.
Fair enough, because you know what, like, Tommy Chong?
Mm-hmm.
He didn't travel with it because he knows I'm the one that's going to get busted, but at the show, everyone would bring it to him.
Yeah,
so
smart.
Yeah,
but I mean, if you... Willie Nelson, you know what comes along with Willie Nelson.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, well...
Hey, listen.
You know, you did get hired to do a show, right?
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Do your show.
Right. But I went inside and just gave it to the staff. And to this day, 5 years later, we come through on our own now. And we get the best fucking service at that club.
You gave the whole brick?
The whole thing.
You gave it away.
Yeah.
It was given to you. I can't believe it was given to you.
How big is the brick?
Easily, it looked like the size of a red paver brick. So thick. And the one guy is like, at least break off a corner. And I was so nervous because being on the tour bus, we knew that every checkpoint, usually they stop and run dogs on the bus. And in 2011, 12, 13, 14, especially in Texas with all the, there was like crazy shit going on in El Paso and Juarez.
Well, we got stopped because Ralphie got busted with drugs in Guam. So ever since then, we got stopped everywhere. He was on a list, so it didn't matter.
Yeah, especially airports. We would always go into secondary. All three of us would get pulled over because of his, when he got detained in Guam. I don't know what fucking list he was on, but it wasn't the best list. We would always get on the planes way separate than him.
Because,
yeah, Ralphie got fucked with a lot.
Yeah, you have to always be careful. So that's your story.
That's my story.
Okay,
you gave away a brick of cocaine.
You gave away a brick of cocaine.
Yep, and now my brother gets free Jack Daniels for the past five fucking years. It's been the greatest.
But I gave it up July 8th. I haven't had hard liquor since, so I'm good with that.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
No more cocktails?
You know how it is. Just every... cocktail, exactly. Just free liquor every night, and I can't do it anymore. I'm 41, I just drink beer like Jesus does.
Amen.
Well, there you go. That is a strong story to kick off with. No one has told a story like
giving away a brick of cocaine. Brick of
if you got a brick of cocaine and you were going across a border,
I'd shit. Oh no. No.
Try to pack as much as you can. We talked about that. I'm like, hey, you got hemorrhoids. Let's pack this up your ass. I told Chad. He was like, no way.
Yeah, no, I'd be nervous about going over a border. But I mean, I would share it with people, I assume.
I learned my lesson. Did I tell the story about Canada? Did I tell that story?
No.
Oh my God. I was working in Canada. I'm sure I did. And this was like in the early 90s, and hash was a big thing. You couldn't find hash in the States, but in Canada, because of what trading partners they had the hookup, so you got hash. And someone
isn't hash just the leftovers?
Hash is like the resin, like, you know.
Right. Compressed, they take the oils or the keef and all the trichomes or whatever the fancy word is and just press it together, and you get like a real condensed version of highly potent.
Yeah, like in Europe, the big thing is to smoke hash. And then Canada, at that time, that was what was prevalent. And so someone gave me a big chunk of hash, and it was like, you know, like, like angels sing, right?
Yeah. And I would have been excited. I'm excited right now hearing this.
And I was working, this is so long ago, and I was working at a chain of comedy clubs, which will remain nameless. And I did a bunch of them in a row. Everyone in Canada is like, totally knows who this is. And the owner was driving me because he had one in over Niagara Falls. So you would do all sorts in Canada, and then you go over Niagara Falls. And so I was doing a club there, and we were going through customs, and he was in a brand new Porsche. And so we're waiting in line, and right, like one into like going over the border, he's like, yeah, you know, if you get caught with drugs, they will not only get you in trouble, they will confiscate the car that it came in. And I was like, oh my God, I have that chunk of hash. And lesson learned, and we made it through, but lesson learned, I'll never do that again, ever, ever, ever.
So you were in a sports car?
A brand new Porsche.
With a guy?
With the club owner that owned like 20 clubs. I'm not going to say the name, but everybody knows the name. Anyway.
We partied in that general vicinity up in Canada, Niagara Falls. It was, Canada's crazy. Crazy strip clubs right there.
Yeah.
And you don't think of Canada as having crazy strip clubs.
Oh, it was the craziest strip clubs of my fucking life.
It was like dusk to dawn.
Yeah, Houston's got some strip clubs too. But we're retired now. We're retired strip clubs.
Yeah. Okay, well there you go.
We're retired. 5 years clean.
It's called divorce and lost all of our shit. Yeah. We're done with it.
Yeah, I hear you. So why don't you start your story now?
Okay, we were about 10, I would say, roughly fourth grade. And we moved into a new apartment complex. Now, keep in mind, our dad did a lot
of
drugs.
New, not nude, right?
New. Like, when I mean new, like, we went to 14 schools, so we always moved. So he moved us to this apartment complex, and we meet these kids, and they all have newspapers and magnifying glasses, and we're burning, like, ants. They're showing us, like, about magnifying glasses. So one kid takes the LA Times or whatever and starts going to the staircase. It's wood. And he starts just putting newspaper, and so we're all just... I don't know. We're just rolling newspapers, and we just weave it all the way to the top. And
through the stairwell.
Through the stairwell, all the way from the first floor to the second floor.
You don't know why you're doing this?
We're our new gang members. These are our new gang, so we're just rolling papers, and we're talking. Like, no one ever said what was about to go down at all. So we go, and we're weaving them up and down. And so he's like, it would be a race. We each had paper going up all the way up the stairs, and we each have our magnifying glass, and we're trying to get the sun to start these papers on fire, I guess. Well, I didn't think what was about to freaking happen. Well, we did it. The stairs just start burning all the way up. And there's people that live upstairs, like a family. I have no freaking idea.
So all the kids were on the bottom,
yes,
and you lit it up.
And we're all, like I'd say 4 or 6 kids are lighting these newspapers, and all of a sudden it starts a fire. And then within minutes, the whole staircase is on fire. Well, from being in trouble our whole life, we run. We run home, like, right away.
Fair enough.
It's our first day here, and we need to live here. And our dad was really abusive, so we're like, we didn't want to tell him. And we're like, oh, my God, if we tell him, we're going to get hit. We're going to get spanked. We're like, oh, man. Well, next thing you know, fire engines. Well, dad sells drugs. Fire engines and police are a problem. He goes outside and instantly comes to us and said, what did you do?
Oh.
And we just told him. So he ran over there with the hose, and he's trying to put it out. And we basically lit the whole staircase on fire. The family on top had to be with the fire engine. They put one at a time and climb them
down.
What kind of,
so I guess in my head, I imagine like stucco and.
No, they're not. These were like an old apartment complex, like wood, flat, like stairs, just brown painted stairs. And the whole thing lit on fire and didn't come to the ground, but it's on fire. And they had to get a truck and, oh God. So as soon as they come, my dad tells them, these are my boys. They did it and they need to be punished, you know, blah, blah, blah. We had to watch fire trucks every Saturday for our whole fifth grade summer. So the next summer, we had to watch fire trucks every week and watch burn kid victim videos that were horrible and make us cry. Like, they would put in videos of kids that lit fires, and we would have to watch that every time. And then you'd go watch the dog, the Dalmatian and shit. And
they really had a Dalmatian?
Yes, they really did, named Cookie.
Dalmatians could be kind of mean.
I don't know. It didn't bite us, but I was a little weary of it. But hey, we weren't at home getting beat. So
wow. Cool. For a drug dealer, your dad was kind of a good father.
He knew. We talked about it later. He just wanted.
When he was around, he was good. Yeah. I would say that.
But then he disappeared for 4 months. You know what I mean? Yeah. So,
wow.
But I didn't think he wanted the cops coming in the house. So he went instantly outside, you know, to lock the door and make sure. Like.
So let me ask you this question. You guys said that the other kids were they're the ones that started it. Right, yes. With putting the paper and twisting it up. Yeah. But you guys actually lit the fire.
Well, we are the ones that had the magnifying glass.
We had the magnifying glass. They had one. So Corey run to our room. He got our own Spider-Man one. And yeah, I guess. But we weren't. Another two kids did too. All four of us were racing these little worms up the thing to see who could light it on fire. I didn't think it would really burn down the thing, but it did. No joke.
Wow.
Yeah, I wouldn't have thought that the stairs would have caught on fire that quickly, as quick as, you know, newspaper would burn.
Yeah, I think just the newspaper in between the lead paint, just that shit.
Oh, yeah, that old paint.
We're talking like 85, probably. You
know. I know when I was a kid, and my dad was an army brat, and we lived in Berlin, Germany.
You were the army brat.
No, my dad was in the army. I was the army brat. And we were living in Berlin, Germany, and we were living in some old apartment building that was very cold in the middle of winter. And so I had a space heater in my room, and every night I would stick it under my blankets to warm up the bed. And it went good for about a week. And then one night I left it in 1 minute too long, and as I pulled the blanket back, whew, but it went kind of fast. Like, it caught on fire fast.
Those old space heaters, too, were bad for that.
Yeah.
They tip over, and then you wouldn't know it. Psh, up.
Yeah.
Now, at least the ones they have, like, I have one at home, and if it tips over, it turns off.
I have the same one.
Yeah.
It'll turn right off.
Was that the only fire you guys ever started?
No.
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 No. No, a lot of mischievous things. Our grandfather.
We didn't have parents. We just ran the streets. Like,
yeah,
and our mom worked and our dad did drugs. Like, she was never home. She was working.
So when you guys were walking down the sidewalk and other kids were walking towards you, did they cross the street to get the fuck?
No,
away
we weren't
from
fighters. Huh, we were never fighters. We were like lovers. We sold candy. We were like Willy Wonka.
I was just about to say that we were like trying to be salesmen, trying to make money and hustle. We were like thinking of any type of job or capital we could come up. We would spray paint addresses on curbs, sell candy. We would, you know, reorganize, buy shit at wholesale and flip it. And believe me, you'll pay 50 cents for a blow pop in fucking fourth grade.
I mean, yeah, I used to do that. I used to make these little pencil toppers that I would sell to people on the street. And I would just stop them. I'm like, you want to buy the
same thing?
And you're a cute kid, they'd buy it from you for 50 cents.
There's twins, and we'd have a little speech now and say it at the same time. Oh, yeah, our mother has cancer. We'd make up anything. We'd be like, fuck, we made $4.75. We're getting a Mountain Dew. Yeah, hustle. Listen.
Wow. Any questions, Jessica, on any of this?
The, I mean, the fire, that's so quick.
Tell me
about it. That's so quick for it to go up.
Yeah.
And I've never, have you personally ever started a fire with a magnifying glass?
Because
I have not.
No. How long did that take? Yeah, how long did that take to start the fire?
Easily a little bit of burning, but multiple. We started many fires with those, actually. Matter of fact, my mom finally took them because she was like, I don't know where the fuck you got these Spider-Man. And we're like, you bought them for us at Toys R Us. And we were just burning shit down, burning bugs, you name it. We were just we'd burn ourselves just to see. We're stupid.
Kids are stupid. My son wanted a Batman knife. And on the internet, it didn't look all that big. And then I ordered it for him. And I'm like, you got to be, you know, safe and appropriate. And I order the goddamn knife, right? And he gets it. and it's like a Crocodile Dundee Batman knife, right? And I'm like, no way, dude, no way. And he's like, I swear to God, I swear to God, I'll be good with it. Then like a week later, I'm walking in the house and he had carved out his name on the door. And I was like, that's from that knife. A, you're in trouble because you carved this out. And B, you're in super trouble because you carved out your own name, dummy.
Dumbass.
Oh, what a dummy, right? He gets mad when I share that story.
I would babysit for one of my supervisors in the Air Force, and he had a little boy that was 3, and they had like real knives for him. And he had real knives and swords, and they allowed him to play with it. And when I was babysitting, he'd get so mad at me because, like, we're not playing with the knives and stuff while I'm here. I'm putting these up.
Yeah.
But he would have a fit.
Yeah.
And they were like, oh, he would have been fine.
Wow. Well, two good stories. You caught a building on fire as a child, as a team, and the brick of cocaine that someone... I can't just imagine someone... How much do you think that brick of cocaine was worth?
Thousands, because the guy...
We joked about that. We talked about it. Had been worth a couple...
Well, Ralphie was pissed, not that we gave it away, that we didn't make anything on it. I go, what do you want me to do? Like, go in front of Whataburger and be like, fucking who wants a brick of cocaine? I just went in because I knew the bartender kept offering it to us the whole weekend, and I remember I gave it to the bartender, and I'm like, hey, so-and-so, you want this? He goes, oh my God. And he went out back, and I remember he was like, he put it right in his car. He fucking hugged me, kissed me on my cheek.
Yeah, I would have too. Was, like,
he
you,
was
man.
Ecstatic. And to this day, I'm not bullshit. When we show up, we get to be like fucking royalty at that place. Yeah.
I think it was at least
we don't even split a room, huh? That's the only town we both get a room in. Otherwise, we're sleeping in the same room.
Yeah. For sure.
Wow. It's interesting to see you guys tell a story together because obviously one is the lie. And how you guys kind of bounce off each other. You guys must lie together all the time.
We're
as
divorced.
Well, that's how we...
Both marriages didn't work out?
I got divorced right after Chad.
I was first.
Well, actually, Ralphie, Chad.
No, I was first. Then Ralph, then you.
And then we called it, the next tour before you passed was called The Shit We Used to Have Tour. And that's what we were calling it, but, you know, things went bad. But, yeah, Chad got divorced first, then Ralphie, and then when I got served, they were all laughing. They're like, ha, 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 no more. Corey's going to lose his turtle farm because I live out by Palm Springs, and I have a turtle farm. I'm licensed by Fish and Game. I got these giant tortoises.
Are you serious?
Dead swear. Yes, yeah. Pictures. Cool. They look like dinosaurs. They're
yeah.
Huge.
Well, I got several different kinds and pens and everything. And
do you sell them for food? Or?
No, I work. I have a permit with Fish and Game, and I turn over the babies when they happen. It's about every 2-3 years I get a clutch, but I turn them over to them, and then they put them out. The California Desert.
But he's rescued these. The 80-year-old he rescued. Someone was being mean to it.
Yeah, and then I have one that's like the size of a manhole cover, giant African turtle. But the California Desert tortoises are underground right now in a burrow until about March, April. Then they'll come up from their hibernation.
There's a bar here that does turtle racing.
Really?
Really?
I used to drop people off on Uber with that.
But yeah, it's a little tax write-off, and I got
to know that was a thing.
Yeah. But these guys would bust my balls and be like, ha-ha, Corey's losing his shit. Ha-ha, we lost our shit. You're losing your shit. And but yeah, we all got divorced within a 3-year time.
Wow.
Do you guys have kids?
I do. Chad does not. He's the worst uncle.
But I was with my wife longer than all of them. I was with mine from 15 to 35.
Oh wow. Shit.
Yeah, she served me because we weren't home anymore. We were with Ralph on tour, and so that's why.
Wow.
I wasn't even mad. I was like, I get it. I haven't been home in 7 months. Like, I could either fly home or stay on tour and keep making money every night or do bar shows out here.
Well, yeah, because Ralph would pick up those weird Monday, Tuesday nights if we're on the bus. And once he got the bus, we went from Southwest to the bus. Then Ralphie started working 7 days a week. He would pick up on a fucking 200-300-seater like I was telling you and at a Funny Bone in Ohio on the way to the theater and blah, blah, blah. Right. And so
why would I go home? So that's why I got divorced. Well, plus Snapchat kind of fucked me up, too.
I think Snapchat was probably the number
brand new, and I got busted with it.
Yeah. Wow.
That's another day.
That's another story. All right, well, two good stories, so we're going to move it along. And, Corey, go to your second story, please.
And it was the, let's see, 1987, we were professional prank phone callers. I mean, we loved prank phone calls, and we had two phones, and they were rotary phones, and they kind of hung on the wall. One was in the kitchen and one
was
up.
How old were you?
We were 11 years old. We were 11 years old, and the two phones, it was good because back then they had yellow pages, and we would always open up the yellow pages and practice, and we would just call it, like, random, and we would just flip it through and put the the album, whatever page, and we'd pick a number and just call. And it wasn't just the stupid shit, but we'd put on voices and we'd get silly, sometimes aggressive, sometimes just smart asses, ask them the time, but call like 15 times in a row, just random 11-year-old shit. We'd call back. And we're like, hey, he's like, fucking asshole, you call here. It's 3:15, dickhead. And we're like, okay, thanks. Thanks, you know? So we would just call and call. And then,
you know, I think The Simpsons really got that running too. Remember when
it was around that, you know, about that time. We were just trying to stay busy. Our parents freshly got divorced. We had a lot of time on our hands. Our mom was a mail lady for 34 years, so she would deliver mail. We knew mom was gone from like 6:30 in the morning to about 5. So we'd hurry up from school, and we'd have about 2.5 hours of, listen, doing whatever the fuck we wanted.
I'm sure.
And we took advantage. MTV was brand new. We were listening to fucking Duran Duran. We were like, you know, skateboarding in the living room, doing just oddball shit.
Poor mother.
She's a saint. Yeah, we tell her to therapy. Tell her to this day. We're sorry. We're sorry.
We tell her all the time. We never do that to her.
No, because I have daughters, and like, it's not like that. We apologize to our mother a lot, frequently, but we're prank phone calling. I remember we were walking home, and on our way home, there was like a donut shop, a liquor store, and this acupuncturist, and I told Chan, I'm like, what does all that fucking writing say anyways? Because it had all this shit, and it said, you know, acupuncture and Dr. So-and-so. I'm like, I don't know, but write that number down. We're going to call this motherfucker up. And so we were laughing, and we went inside, and we got some candy, and I remember going home, and I'm like, I'll go upstairs, and I just ran upstairs, and Chad's down, and I fucking dial, and he gets on the thing, and we tell him, I don't even know why or how we even came up with this scenario, but we're like, hey, asshole. And he's like, asshole, what's wrong? And I'm like, you gave us bad service. And he's like, okay, come down. I'll give you a refund. I'm like, no, fuck your refund. I go, you're going to give us $10,000, and we're going to blow your ass to smithereens. And I hear my brother go,
That's a threat.
Yeah, we know.
I hear Chad cover the phone. Chad covers the phone, and he yells upstairs, and he goes, what the fuck? And I'm like, that's right, asshole. You have till tomorrow. You throw $10,000 in the dumpster, and we're going to blow you to fucking smithereens. And I'm not fucking around. And I remember I hung up, and he goes, oh, my God. He runs upstairs. He was like,
I'm going to run upstairs. I'm like, what are you doing, dude?
I'm like, I don't know. Yosemite Sam says it. He's going to blow his ass to smithereens. I said, we're going to blow this motherfucker. He's all, what do you have to blow him up with? I'm like, I have no idea. But this motherfucker.
I got a magnifying glass.
Yeah.
Our trusty magnifying glass. I think it got taken from us by this.
Yeah, by this time. So the next day, our next door neighbor, we'll call him Ian. We're like, hey, Ian, we're like, listen, we're going to get $10,000 today. He's like, no shit. And I'm like, yep, we're getting $10,000 after school. And I go, and if you go with us, we'll buy you anything you want at that fucking liquor store. You go in there, you want a whole tube of the beef jerky, it's yours. No problem. He's like, okay, I'm coming. I'm like, fucking A, you're coming. I remember we called and we're like, you got our money. He's like, okay, listen, don't blow me up. He's like, he says something like, he goes, I got a family. I go, we do too. I mean, our voices, we didn't even hit puberty. We had no hair in any vicinity of our, yeah. Worse.
We're late bloomers. We were very late bloomers.
Yeah. I don't think we bloomed all the way kind of bloomers. Fucking call this guy. And so he's like, I'm going to throw it in there. Give me till five. And we went up and we had carports at the apartment complex, and we're sitting on the top of the carport, and we're watching the dumpster, and the fucking guy pulls up and throws a bag in, and we tell Ian, we're like, hey, you better go get that fucking bag. I go, if you want those Snicker bars, motherfucker, you better go get that bag. And he was younger, and bullying was cool in 1987.
Yeah.
We were like, listen, you go get that fucking bag. And I remember he jumped over the next wall, and he jumps in the dumpster, and he fucking holds up, and he goes like this, and we started celebrating on top of the parking structure, and we were like, fucking A, and we get all excited, and all of a sudden, cops came from every fucking direction.
No.
Every direction. When I tell you every direction, there's not a direct, you're fucking up, over, under.
You threatened to blow a place up.
Yeah, we know. It gets worse.
3 felony count bomb extortion. So we took off running home, because that's what we learned to do.
And
we
like ran right home.
Right home. And I remember we ran in, and mom was cooking. And I remember we ran upstairs. She goes, what the fuck did you assholes do? And we're like, don't answer the door. Don't answer the door. She goes, motherfucker. And our mom was good. She Melly went and locks the door and turns off all the lights. And she was like, you know, listen, she doesn't want to be in trouble either. Fucking turn off
that's
all
when
the
drug addict parents are the best.
They were the best.
I remember
bring that back.
She even turned off the stove like they could hear the top ramen cooking. Our fucking mom turned off the stove. And then the cops came and they were like, boom, boom, boom. And they said the city and they're like, you know, police department. And my mom's like, God damn it, you motherfucker. You know, she's cussing us. And my mom comes down and she puts on her bathrobe and She had her, she had her male uniform on underneath
it's it. It's like 5 in the afternoon. She's already ready for bed.
They tell our mom, they're like, do you have two twin sons? Because the guy recorded our phone later, come to find out, he recorded the first day. He just recorded phone conversations. And like, do you have two sons? And my mom's like, no, I don't. But one of the neighbors do. And the cops just didn't buy my mom's story. They already kind of knew somehow. And they pulled out a cassette tape and they go, we have a tape for you to listen to. And
it was a cassette tape. Mm-hmm. A cassette tape.
1987, going strong. And the guy put it in there and he hit play.
They recorded the second
on his answering machine.
Yeah, because we left.
I remember doing that shit. That's right. My dad would record my mom's calls with me.
And that's how he did it. He recorded our conversation from the answering machine.
Yeah, a little tape, but not a, you know, a fat tape. It was just a little mini one. And I remember my mom looked at us and the guy's like, which one are you guys? And we had a deal early on where I'm like, okay, if we ever get arrested, I'm going to take the blame first. The next time we get arrested, you're going to go down. Oh, no.
You're going to give him three felony guilty. Yeah.
I got to sell blow pops to make money.
So the plays the tape, and I took the rap for the whole fucking thing.
Oh,
I
really?
Went, yeah, I did. I took the rap. And I remember Chad turned on me right in front of the cop. He was like, book him, Dano. I kept telling him not to do it.
Really said that?
Yes, but why do you think of all that? You calling your girlfriend slut and this shit. Like, yeah. We're going to fight on the way home.
Welcome, Dano.
Yeah, because that was a solid show when we were going up.
Because I was trying to be funny to make it look like I was innocent, so I wouldn't get spanked, too. And, it wasn't just a spanking in 87. Like, we could get it. And I was like, Court, you got to take it. Like, come on.
Right.
And somehow, you know, so I got detained, and when they went to take me in.
Detained.
Yeah, they actually cut me loose, and I had a court appearance to show up. And
well, they drove them around and scared you. You left for like an hour.
Oh, it was. I told him, I said, please. I'd rather go to juvenile home. Do not take me home.
Is this why you guys moved like 12 times when you were kids? Was it
our dad,
were you guys
our dad
the
was
reason?
Wanted too.
Yeah, oh, really? Our dad was a construction guy, and he would just travel around wherever the jobs were. Uh-huh. Yeah, because we grew up in Southern California. This is where we've lived. We never lived anywhere else but Southern California. So we would always constantly move to the new construction project. But yeah, I got detained, and then when we went in front of the judge, I remember the judge looked over and she said, "So your brother had nothing to do with it?" And I said, "No." She goes, "What were you guys going to do with that money?" I'm like, and I just hit her in the heart because we practiced this for like 3-4 weeks. I remember I was like, "Ma'am, our parents are divorced and we're trying to help my mom out. We need shoes." And I just hit her in the heart.
Oh.
And I remember she called us both into her thing, and we just fucking poured the charm on this lady, and she dropped the charges. So.
Wow.
You got lucky as fuck.
Now, what came first, burning the building or extorting a man?
Burning.
Burning, for
we
sure.
We got better as the years went on.
That was our first heist, probably burning.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, but you didn't get turned in for that one. You didn't get caught for that one.
Well, the police, our dad said my sons did this. And my my dad rebuilt those stairs under his own money, him and his construction company.
Oh, wow.
And painted it so that way no one went to jail and we didn't get kicked out of the complex, the whole deal. Because we had to live there. Like, we didn't have a choice to live there. So,
wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Huh. Man, you guys were bad.
Yeah.
We stopped at 18, we straightened our shit up.
Wow.
Me too, in the Air Force. Hmm. So mostly anyway.
Did you guys ever do jail time?
No.
No, never. Never in our life have we ever.
As adults, we've never been in trouble. Never, knock on wood, no DUIs, no arrest, no detain, except for at checkpoints with Ralphie. All the trouble we got into was always with Ralphie after.
Now, let me ask you a question. Because you were twins, do you think that that helped you get into more trouble because there were just the two of you with this
it
crazy
did.
Bond?
I would say it did both. It got us into trouble and it talked us out of, because if the other twin wasn't sold on the idea, they would talk you out of it. Always. You out of it. Guilt.
Have you guys ever lied to each other?
I don't think so. We always wanted the other one to be solid with us, so we would always be straight and be like, look, if you went on this, this is fucking A, B, C, and D, and we would never bullshit each other.
We overthink everything, though, so we're neurotic like that. We overthink everything. So,
it's nice to have somebody that you could tell everything to, and you know that it's...
We traded judgment. Yeah, we traded classes. Right. We always made honor roll and everything.
We never failed a class in our whole life.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Like, I was better at English and sciences, math and history, so I would go to second period, you know, twice. I would do the test twice.
Even in college. In college, we dominated college.
You guys went to the same college?
Yeah.
Yeah.
We even took theater arts and plays. We, you know, all that kind of stuff in college. And Chad had more structured classes. I was just kind of barely showing up, but we got Chad a degree. Chad got a bachelor's.
We got Chad a degree. Yeah.
I didn't get one, but Chad did. Chad got it.
But he got braces and I didn't, so shit.
It was a group effort. And I love that you're talking about prank calls. It reminded me of my stepdad. He loved corny, just silly, stupid jokes, you know? Uh-huh. And I remember he used to have this statue, and from the front, it looked like Mother Mary, you know, in the gown and all that. And then you turn it around, it looked like a penis.
Yeah.
And he loved that. He would show that to so many people that came over. Uh-huh. And he would love it when we would, like, prank him on the phone. We'd call and just leave a message. We knew he wasn't there, you know. And we'd be like, oh, this is Larry down at the Porn Pandorium, and we got your blow-up doll in. And he would just, it would tickle him to death.
We do that now. If we leave a voicemail and we call you and you don't answer, I would guarantee it's not a regular message. It's always a fake, made-up, improv kind of message. We never leave a straight message, ever. To this day, we have a friend, Mark, who travels with us. He has them all recorded and plays them for us when we're on the road. I leave the craziest, so does Chad, the voicemails all the time. Just make-up shit.
For years.
Well, it is so interesting to watch you guys. I'm saying it again. Tell a story because... this is what I'm curious about, because sometimes when you're telling a story, and there are times when you're like, yeah, yeah, and then sometimes you're not giving it much energy, so I'm wondering if that is an indication if a story is a lie.
I kind of was upset that you brought that up earlier,
uh-huh.
because then you gave them insight into it, because I was like, well, now they're going to try to do that more, like be conscious of it.
Right.
Do you think?
No.
Yeah. I was like, come on, Felicia, you're giving them.
All right, so let's go to your second story. Kay.
So he's been married twice. I've been married once. So he's probably, we just started going with, I would say 31, so 10 years ago. And he's talking about how he needs to get divorced. He's not happy, blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, I'll serve her. I don't give a shit. And we didn't have tattoos. And, you know, we're more. So he
it doesn't
goes,
matter. I served papers for my friend in
no,
Sacramento.
I'm going as him. I'm going to go as him. He didn't have the full beard. We had the exact. We had closer to our face. The whole deal. We combed our hair. We actually had hair. The whole deal. And I go, I'll go as you. I go, you're going to buy me a bunch of beer this weekend. Yeah, in and out. He said,
and you're going to serve it to his wife, though.
Yeah, but I'm going to try to work it out because he wanted this one car. So I go, cool.
Yeah, but you don't. She doesn't. You don't think that she
so
knows?
So you negotiated with his soon-to-be ex-wife as him?
Yeah, so I got into his.
Well, things weren't working out. He kept telling me that I didn't have patience. And coming from a guy who was still with the same woman since, like, fucking eighth grade, so he thinks, like, he's the all, you know, the wise one because he's Yoda and he's still with the same girl.
Right.
And my shit went to hell. So I'm like...
Well, to be fair, his lasted longer.
Right. That's true. That's what I was trying to tell him.
But Ralphie was feeding into him, and they were coming up with all these ideas, the surveys.
So I was like, I go, look, here's what we're going to do. You're going to give me your clothes, that little stupid sweatshirt she bought you. I'm going to put that on. And then I'm going to take your truck, and I'm going to go to your house. You wait at my house. You guys can just laugh about this when I get back. I said, okay. So I go, and he has the paper, gives me the paperwork, and put it in my back pocket. And I know what he wanted to argue about, this stupid little white truck that he ended up losing anyway. And so I was like... I was about to say her name, dude. So
I know.
Don't say names.
I know. So whatever your name is, like, we got to work this out. And she's like, I don't want to get divorced. I'm like, no, it's over. Like, just listen, be cool. I bought this truck when I was young. I just want this truck. Blah, blah, blah.
Yeah, no children.
By the way, be cool. I want the truck.
Well, let me preface.
I can't see that working.
She was Latina, and she would break shit. So then I was like, I didn't want her to break his stuff, so I was like working it out. She's like,
so did she not have any idea that he wanted a divorce?
Yeah. Well, yeah, because he was staying with me every night. You know,
but they hadn't discussed, like, okay, we're going to go through
yeah,
with
so
it.
Yeah, so he went to
so
this.
You're sitting there negotiating with her, and she has no idea that it's you and
no,
not
she
her.
Keeps saying Corey, the whole deal. So she sits closer and closer and closer to me, and she's, like, kissing my neck and telling me that she wants this to be worked out. I'll skip ahead because you don't want to get too crazy.
Oh, my God.
No, we want to know everything. Keep going. Well,
basically... Basically, she goes down and
you got a blowjob from his wife at the time. Wife, you hadn't even served her.
No. Well, she's about to be served.
Yeah, twice.
Literally twice. So she does that, and I'm
she
like,
got served.
Yeah, so
a pudding pop
the whole time.
So you guys are identical down there too.
Yeah,
oh, same.
We've had dick offs many times.
Yeah,
Chad's got a little more foreskin, so he's got me by
you're
a quarter
so
of an inch. But yeah,
no, I did not. I'm Luke Skywalker all the way. Yeah. Anyway, listen. So afterwards, you know, we finish. And I told her, look.
You mean you finish?
Oh, yeah, for
did
sure.
Did you return?
No,
did
no.
You? And you were married at that time?
Yes. Yeah. That's, come on. Why do you think I'm divorced? Like, well, I did dumb shit.
I'll tell you why.
That was my plan.
Not because you were on the road.
Well, yeah. Hey, we were home for a weekend. I had to, you know. So I tell her this is not working out. And I literally said, you've been served. And I, you know, I'm going to say her name again. And I handed her the paperwork and she lost her shit. She started throwing his little figurine fisherman shit at me. And then I just grabbed his keys and I shut the door and I left. And I went home, and he was at my house, and I said, I have something to tell you. So, did you give her the paperwork? I'm like, oh, yeah. I gave her the paperwork.
And I knew when he tells me, I looked at him, I'm like, that wasn't part of the fucking deal, and you're not getting your Coors Light, you cocksucker.
He was so mad that happened. I said, dude, it, like, happened. Like, unless you guys were there, you don't know.
You were like, man, I was deep undercover.
Pretty much, dude.
I knew it was over. There's no way I could take her back, because it's like, you can't stay with someone that fucks your brother. You're like, hey, could you imagine Thanksgiving? You're like, hey, pass the potatoes, you fucking brother fucker.
I don't know about this.
That shit happened all the time in my family. Jesus
Oh my God. I don't believe that.
No, don't put it past him. Because I'm telling you, my sister sent me a whole thing one time. She's like, maybe you can use this in your act. And she told me all the ins and outs of, like, okay, I dated so and so, which is so and so's brother, which also was married to your brother. And it was a whole thing. And I was like, oh my God.
Yeah, but
and okay. My dad slept with my brother's ex-wife.
Well, that's just simple trashiness. But this is complex trash, okay? This is complex trash. Yeah, because I'm sitting here with you guys, and I can tell you guys apart. I mean, obviously, other than the beard. Mm-hmm. But I can, you guys look different to me.
I think so, too.
Yeah, I don't think you guys
look. Yeah, but that's because he's been through two marriages. He's been through a long marriage. It's going to wear on you differently.
But for a wife who wants to get back together, I don't buy that. I don't buy that. That is a crazy story.
Did you disown him for a while? Did you not talk to him?
We were on tour.
Did you forgive him right away?
We were freshly on tour.
No, you know what he did? You took my car and
I ran through. They had a bunch of streetlight cameras in his town. I remember I took his fucking car and I went through like 7 stoplights and got all these red lights. I remember I was drinking a beer in one of the pictures.
$2,100 in flashlight, you know, the stoplight tickets. Because of it.
But that's nothing compared to him penetrating my wife.
Well, it was only the mouth he
really
penetrated.
I was a gentleman about the whole thing.
I think I was going to kiss her one or two more times.
No,
too.
I drew the line at sex. I'm like, look, sis, we can't do this. Like, right there.
I can't believe. How long were you married to this lady?
4 years. Well, together
no,
4 years.
Oh, I cannot believe that she wouldn't be able to tell you guys apart. Because I can tell you guys apart.
But back then, like, we'll show you pictures. This this is called stress and PTSD and all kinds of horrible shit.
Well, I mean, if they got a degree together.
Yeah. Yeah, but that's a different thing when you're in a college classroom with 40 other people than when your wife, who wants to get back with you, is going to give you a...
Maybe she knew. But then she was like,
we've joked
there
about that.
There you go.
We've talked about that. I said she totally knew, dude, because
Chad's all, she wanted to fuck me.
She did.
I go, no. I go, no. We would argue, and then Ralphie would be the instigator to where me and him would almost fight on the tour bus, and he would laugh all the time. He's like, all right, on three, y'all titty baby, start fighting. 1, 2, 3. So he would love it. He would encourage us. He would bring up the story every 3-4 months. Like if it was boring and it was in Wyoming, he's like, why don't y'all tell a story about fucking your sister? Why don't you tell that story?
No, I don't mean to be this person, but why did she want to stay with you to begin with? I mean, what was it about you that was, you were obviously not happy and I'm sure that came across and you had been arguing.
I think
it was
just because like owning a house together and like different financial responsibilities.
And she was religious. You weren't going to church. You weren't doing none of that. You were going with us.
And comedy was starting to pick up at the time. We went from doing like open mics and fucking shit to
actually
getting paid.
Yeah, but she didn't want to leave you. She didn't obviously didn't want to leave.
12 years at the most.
Wow.
Because we're 41. Wow. It was like right before 30.
We were just starting to make money. I'm not saying we were killing it, but we were starting to make money and be gone. And just be gone. Not getting opportunities to not be... Well, going from coffee shops to fucking comedy clubs. That's how it went down. And we were ecstatic and just being gone and trying to live. This is before Skype and fucking iPhones.
Now, did you ever tell her what you did?
You did. later.
Well, when I saw her later, like three years ago.
Yeah,
I you did. Face.
Yeah, because
yes.
Yeah, I told her.
Yeah,
I told her at Red Lobster.
Yeah, I told her at Red Lobster. Yeah.
I told her at Red Lobster.
That's why I'm loving this.
Yeah.
Well, he was at the bathroom forever, and he was at the bathroom forever, and I remember telling him when he came back, and I'm like, I go, we're joking, we're like, would you fuck some girl in the bathroom? He's all, I could have.
I go, because you're an ex-wife. And he's like, what? So I'm out of here. And he like left the cheddar biscuits and everything.
You don't leave the cheddar biscuits. That's the best part.
Never leave the cheddar biscuits. Never.
You go to hell for that.
Was she just eating there or working there?
No, eating there. But she was going to pee going to the bathroom at the same time. And
right.
She's like, look at me. And I was like, I have something to
tell you. So that's like, that could be like, is that against the law? Is that like?
I don't. Great. Now I have a Me Too charge. Thank you.
That's how we get you here in the Liars Club.
I mean, yeah, no.
Well, looks like no longer splitting the money. Now I'm gonna start getting $50 a set. This is really gonna work out.
Wow. Was she angry when
you
told her?
No. High fived. Hugged it out.
No.
Yes.
She knew.
Yeah.
She just didn't want to lose him.
She didn't say exactly.
She's like, if I gotta blow his brother to keep him, that's what I'm gonna do.
Yeah.
I think she was like, I'll show these motherfuckers.
That's probably more like it.
Wow, four crazy stories. Let me review the stories quite quickly. For Corey, his story was he was on the road. They both were on the road with Ralphie and near the border in El Paso, and someone pulled over and gave them a brick of cocaine. Was that guy at the show?
Yeah, he was actually in the parking lot of the comedy club. We're loading the bus in the rear of the parking lot. We were dollying the shit out, and it was raining, and he just pulled up. He was in the same parking lot. It was like an hour after
the show. But he had been to the show.
Yeah, the late show, yeah.
Or did you get that for a story from, like, a cop show?
No. Cop show. Real life.
So that was his first story about getting the brick of cocaine. And then your second story was, I'm sorry, refresh my memory.
Felony count extortion.
Oh, yes. Blow the place prank. Up. Yes. You were telling the liquor store owner that you were going to blow him up. Wow. And whatever happened to the other kid that went into the dumpster?
Oh, Ian got detained, but I took the fall and said we were bullying him because his parents were probably really going to abuse him. And I knew that. And we talked him into it. So I knew I was going down. There was no going around it. There was no going around it. One of us said Corey or something on the tape. I just remember I knew I had to go down, and I was like, yeah, I did it. You know, that's me doing voices. I go, I had two phones. And he was like, two phones? And yeah.
Yeah. Wow. And then Chad's two stories was the first one was moving into a new apartment building and playing with the kids a first day there and rolling up paper and setting a staircase on fire. Mm-hmm. And then your second story was sleeping with your brother's wife when you should be negotiating for a car.
Well, just in case this is a Me Too charge, it was definitely not sleeping. It was just oral copulation. Thank you.
You guys are professionals with that. That was a little bit too professional.
My lawyer advised me about this.
Well, I'm a little jealous because my dad never let us go to Red Lobster because it was too expensive.
For sure. For sure.
We never got to do that. I want that second story, that last story to be true because that's fun.
Well, that's a word I might not have chosen. But all right.
I mean, I don't know if they got a degree for each other, you know? And then, I mean, everything. You heard them. They share everything. Everything. Uh-huh. They have rooms in each other's houses. So I bet he has a key. He just comes and goes.
He does.
Right?
Chad took a drug test one time for me when we were like 18, and I got a job at the railroad. Thank you, Chad.
You're welcome.
Family right there.
Wow.
So why not? It was probably like they were both married to her, too, and he was like, yeah, we need to get out of this.
Like, I got you, bro. It's like I set out. Let's get that straight with the intentions of getting a blowjob.
No. Why would you think that would happen if you're going to be in an argument?
And it was an argument. Like for a long time.
Right. All right. Well, let's start with Corey and his two stories and the brick of cocaine or the prank phone call. What do you think? Which one is the truth?
I think the blowing up story is true. Just because I want both mega stories to be true.
So you think the brick of cocaine is not true?
I don't think it's true. I think that's... I mean, who's going to give you a brick of cocaine? A brick. I mean, I know you're at El Paso, but a brick?
Maybe a bindle. But not no brick.
You know, every time I move somewhere, and I've obviously gained a lot of weight now, so it never makes sense to me. But every time I move somewhere, I walk down the street, and people always ask me, end up coming up to me, like, where can I find some Coke?
Really?
They do. And I'm like, I don't know. I fucking just moved here, too.
When you find out, let me know.
Wow. When you guys were growing up, was there Coke always laying around the house?
Always. Put away, but we knew what was...
room.
Yeah, but we knew. But
we
knew.
Did you see your dad on the regular actually do cocaine?
I don't think until older, but
we'd watch him weigh it up on the triple beam and put it into bags with a spoon. Uh-huh.
But we knew late night when this guy is fucking, it's 2 o'clock, we wake up at 2 a.m. and this guy's still working on shit in the garage. I mean, we knew that...
He's partying.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We knew, like, the odd hours. Like, Friday and Saturday nights, we knew that we were going to be up late. Like,
they're playing Uno, doing blow, for sure.
Uno.
Yeah. They loved it. That sounds like hell, doing blow and playing Uno
over and over and over and over.
We were just glad they weren't taking apart the TV anymore. We were like, fuck. Glad they're past taking apart the TV. Like, we're trying to watch MASH. Can you guys get your shit together out there?
Wow. My uncle was schizophrenic, and he would take apart shit all the time. Mm. But he would never put it back together.
I'm going to say that I'm going to go with Jessica, and I'm going to say that.
Really? I know. Okay.
But I just can't. I am with Andrew in that I can't imagine that some guy who, do you think he just mule drugs over the border?
Oh, you could tell. No, that you could tell that he was just probably carrying that all the time. It looked like, you know, this guy was like dressed up fancy.
I thought the way you explained it.
But a beat up fucking El Camino. This thing was like, you could tell. I was like, this is the kind of vehicle you run drugs in, I guess. I don't know. Like,
but El Camino, did he have a cover, like a back?
Yeah, it was a Tonneau cover, and he unlocked it and lifted it up. And this thing had like all terrain tires where it could go on dirt or.
So it's an, now we have a situation. So it's. So he had an El Camino, and he had the thing on the back where they locked in, like, the thing.
Mm-hmm, and he lifted it up.
My uncle had a El Camino.
Uh-huh.
Of course.
Are we related?
It's just flat. It's not like the cabs that you're thinking about.
Uh-huh.
It's just flat, and then you just...
It's flat, lays flat on.
Correct. Like, if this is the bed of the truck, it just sits flat and kind of props open. And it's got two like spring things on the sides for it to sit up when you want to unlock it. But it was flat. That way it was aerodynamic. And
I don't know about that.
But it didn't fit across the whole bottom of the truck. Just
the whole back was covered. The whole bed. Yeah. You couldn't get into the bed at all.
Yeah, I'm going to say that story is bullshit, because I can't imagine if you had that much drugs in your car that you would just put it in something so that's not that safe. Because that would be the first thing.
Well, as somebody that was just currently in the movie The Mule.
Oh my God, I can't believe you went so long without mentioning it, Jessica. Jesus.
I would like, and it was based on a true story. I'd say it's plausible. He did it in a truck, and he carried it with pecans.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. I'm going to say, you can't trick me. I'm with you. I'm on your team. I'm going to say the brick of cocaine story is BS. And that the story,
okay, hopefully the prank
calls
right.
is correct. And what is the truth, Corey?
The truth is the prank phone calls is the truth.
I'm back.
Finally, Jessica got it right. Wow. All right, so we're going to move on to Chad's stories. And your first story was about lighting up the staircase on fire with paper on the first day of moving into the apartment building with your brother.
Yes.
And that you guys got in trouble. And the second story is about
the swaparoo.
Yeah, about the sleeping with your brothers.
Oral copulation, let's just get facts straight.
All right, I'm sorry that she gave you a Hummer. And
is that the right word, copulation?
Let's go with it.
Yeah. So what do you think about that?
I think it's true. And I'm feeling like a kind of a bond with these guys.
It's funny because we feel it too.
Yeah. From now on out, you're our sister.
Because even to the point where, because I got into a lot of trouble and stuff in high school and grade school and all that. Not grade school, but middle school. And then when I turned 18, I went in the Air Force, and it was all, I mean, I drank and did stupid stuff, but I didn't get in trouble.
Yeah.
So even I am like with that. I think it's true. I think it's so fucked up that it's true. I mean, yeah. I think she knew too, though.
Yeah,
I think she knew.
That's the only way I could go with that is that she was just like, look at these motherfuckers, and I'm about to teach them a big lesson.
Yeah, if you wake up with a guy next to a guy every day.
Yeah, yeah.
You kind of got to know that he...
You know the lines on the forehead. Like, I see you guys have different lines on your forehead. Mm-hmm. You know?
I've had more stress than Jack.
I'm not saying one has more than the other. They're just in different spots.
Do you wear glasses?
I need to. I don't have benefits. I use his benefits, too, so I need to use his and get new.
Well, then that's a very good point. That's a very good point. Was she like, oh, where are your glasses?
This is all new. He just got those fancy things. He did not have those. He did not have those. He barely had that card.
Yeah, yeah. I just got a Costco card, so. Yeah.
Wow. Yeah, so you're going to say that the sleeping with the wife is
true. Remember, it's copulation.
It's a Hummer is technically what it was. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. So you think he got the Hummer from Corey's soon-to-be ex-wife.
What did she do?
Yeah, what does she do for a living?
Makeup.
Besides your brother.
Makeup.
We should all hang out. That was good. Seriously.
Makeup artist.
And if she was a makeup artist, then I'm going to say no way. If her job is to look at people's faces,
I think she knew.
Yeah.
She knew.
Yeah.
She just didn't want to, she probably didn't work much, did she?
It's whenever she wanted.
Right. Yeah,
whenever she wanted.
So not much. Exactly.
So if I say that the thing about the soon-to-be ex-wife is not true, if I say that that's not true, then we're actually saying that you guys caught something on fire. You did that first before the explosions, right? Before the prank calls.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yes, I think that the second one, I have known both big stories are going to be true in my eyes. For sure.
Well, you think he's going to catch something on fire. They're going to catch something on fire. And then how long was the difference between both stories of catching something on fire, the staircase on fire, and then
2 years.
Prank calls?
Yeah, because we moved.
Yeah, moved. Fourth grade, sixth grade.
Mm-hmm.
No, I don't. I think the second one, I'm sure they got into a lot of trouble and stuff. But I never even thought about weaving newspaper up a wooden staircase, and I've never.
Yeah, but you're a girl. But you're a girl.
No, but I did boy stuff.
Yeah, I did boy stuff too. But I didn't set shit on fire. Did you ever set something on fire?
I did set something on fire,
but that was by accident. Yeah. Oh, I just outed myself. Wow.
And I've never seen anybody start a fire with a magnifying glass.
Really?
No, I've never seen that.
Yeah.
No.
I'm going to say the staircase, burning up the staircase was true.
Okay. Do I tell you now?
Yes.
The oral copulation is not true.
Oh! Yes! Yes! I knew it!
It really was just a bit that started for the first time ever at Addison. It's the first time we ever did that. Ralphie called us back on stage and goes, I'm going to embarrass you little fucks.
I was there for that. I think I was there for that show.
And that's exactly what happened.
So,
and it is exactly what you said. We both wanted a crazy one and a certain normal one. Because we thought, you know, the normal one you'd kind of go, you know.
Go for.
Yeah.
Right.
So.
Damn it.
Wow.
Damn it.
And we did get in trouble and really had to watch fire videos. It was horrible. Yeah. We cried every Saturday.
And it was a 2-joint drive to get here, and we really came up with that story.
Wow. Such great stories. Thank you guys so much.
Thank you for having us.
We have time for one more. Did you ever do anything like trick girls? Did you ever? Really do anything like that?
Just kissing
ever?
And stuff. And the best part is that you're when you guys were dating, she came
my
up.
My girlfriend at the time went up to him and we're at the beach and she came up behind him and started kissing his back.
And I remember we were fishing off the pier and I looked at Chad and went, like, and I looked at her and I go, and I said her name and she goes, oh my God.
And she started just instantly crying. I'm like, relax. Like, it's cool, but that was weird watching you do that. Like, she was, I'm so embarrassed. And she ran and it was a big fucking deal. Ruined the day.
But that's like the
that's crazy. Like the most crazy.
Okay. Wow. Well, you guys were awesome guests. Thank you so much.
Thank you for having us. This was a lot of fun.
And where can people follow you?
At Corey and Chad. C-O-R-Y, the letter N, C-H-A-D, all one word, Corey and
Twitter,
Chad.
Instagram, Facebook, it's all the same. Yeah.
And I would also like to say that, and I'm sure everybody feels this way here at the table, that we have sweetest thoughts for Brody Stevens' family.
Definitely.
And that's something that weighed very heavily on us. And the outcome that was positive is just to hear how many comedians said, I love you to each other.
Yeah.
And I just wanted to say that our sweetest thoughts are with the whole situation. And we're so pleased that we're able to come at you live here at the Facebook page of the Comedy Store. Sorry, we had a few technical issues, but we're very happy about doing that. And we want to give a big shout out to not only Mike Schmidt, who is the person that put all this together here at the Comedy Store, but for the engineer Todd Walker. Thank you very much for all your help. And once again, the opinions and views and stories that you have heard here should not be held against the Comedy Store. Anyway, but I am Felicia Michaels, and you can follow me all across the board at Felicia Michaels on Instagram and on Twitter.
Yes, I just want to say too real quick that I'm really thankful for my Comedy Store family. Like, this isn't hit me. Nothing has hit me like this, I don't think, quite like anything else. Because once I found comedy, and then I found the Comedy Spot, and then the Comedy Store, and it's really become, it's home for me. Even though we get on each other's nerves, whatever, it's part of, it's like what a real family should be.
Mm-hmm. Right, right.
So losing Brody was huge.
Yes. Yeah.
We'll never forget him. And you guys can follow me at Jess Wellington 2 on everything. And you've been lied to.